Oh, yeah. A little bit of game show music, because it's time for the game show. Catholic Answers Game Show, which we have titled The Catholic Answers Game Show. I won't be taking calls because we've got two wonderful guests with us this hour who will be playing for a mountain of prizes. We will get to those, I guess, momentarily. Our in-studio guest and helper is Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back.
Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, it's good to be back on a game show, man. I always love the game show.
Because I'm first of all, we run into some people every now and then who like, they should probably just be apologists themselves.
Indeed.
And then and it's fun to get to talk about the stuff that, you know, like some of the stuff is kind of obscure. I don't make all the questions easy.
So you do a good job, Si.
All right. Well,
and our contestants are very good. They're very well-read, and, you know, they're
because they're members
attention.
Of Radio Club.
That's it.
And we have a really super smart Radio Club. All right. Well, let's introduce our contestants, then we'll do the rules, and then we'll start to play. Our first contestant is Ryan. Ryan, are you there with me? And if you are, tell us where you're calling from and anything that's interesting about you.
Hello, my name is Ryan, and I'm calling from Vermont. I am 18 years old. I just graduated high school. Lord willing, I'll be attending Hillsdale College in the fall.
All right,
congrats.
Ryan, cool. So we're delighted to have you all the way from Vermont. I think we have just a little bit of phone delay. So if the listener's thinking that that's taking that you, yeah, you're hearing a little bit of a delay. So let's go to our second contestant, Alexa. Where are you calling from, and what's interesting about you?
I'm calling from a little Midtown, Pennsylvania, and my husband and I have four kids, and I used to be a CPA before I went back to school, and I now teach religion and English at a Catholic school.
Ooh, good for you.
Oh, Ryan. Wow. Ryan. I hope you are a smart 18-year-old, because you're up against a religion teacher, you poor guy.
I'm a poor challenge.
All right, that's good. Well, the good thing, Ryan, is, I mean, Carlo is, but I am not above cheating. So don't worry one bit. I'd be happy to, if things get out of hand, I will be happy to help cheat against Alexa. Are you both? Go ahead.
Ryan sounds like a pretty sophisticated guy.
He does indeed. They're very bright in Vermont as well. All right, Alexa and Ryan, I'm going to go over the rules, and then I'm going to ask you if you understand the rules. And if you understand the rules and you can prove that you are not a robot, we will go on to the next step. We'll play the game. First rule, there's three rounds. I'm not going to, I don't know why I started with first rule. I'm not going to number the rules. There's three rounds. First two rounds are multiple choice. And whoever has the most points, that is the most correct answers after those two rounds, goes on to final judgment. That's what we call the third round, final judgment. So only one of you will go on to final judgment. So in the first round, you will each get three questions. In the second round, you will each get three questions. Now, you have what we call after lifelines that to help you out. And that is, you get to ask Carlo for help. If we give you a question, a multiple choice question that you are stumped on, then you can say to Carlo, Carlo, please eliminate one wrong answer. That'll get you down to 50-50. Once you've used that lifeline, whether you use it in the first or second round, once it's used, it's gone. Your second after lifeline is that you get to ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. Are those rules clear?
Yes.
Clear to me.
Okay. Now, here's the catch. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, the rules state very clearly he has to give it in Pig Latin. Okay, so you will be getting the answer from Carlo in Pig Latin. Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
K-O-A, Arlo K?
Yeko? Yeko?
What? I don't know. I don't know what that was.
Oh, I did it backwards. It's supposed to be K-O-A. That's it. All right.
Okay. Yeah, this is why it's always fun to get Carlo speaking Pig Latin. All right. We're ready for round one. Nick is on the soundboard. Nick, you're ready. Marie, you're keeping score in there for us. Thomas, you're drinking a beverage and just watching. Okay, great. Good. Glad the video department is here. Ryan,
Brandon, we love you. Don't worry,
Brandon. Sorry. I apologize. Hi. Brandon is very sensitive too. It's the worst is when you leave Brandon out, because of all of the people that work in the booth, he is the most sensitive. So I apologize, Brandon. You're very important. You're super important. Sorry, Brandon. Okay, here we go. Now, for the purposes of the game, Ryan is contestant number one. Alexa is contestant number two. That becomes important only if there's a tie after rounds one and two. If there's a tie after rounds one and two, then Ryan, because he is contestant number one, gets to pick box A or B. And box A or B will tell us who goes on to the final round. Question number one for you, Ryan. It is a multiple choice question because this is a multiple choice round. Ryan, on the Feast of Pentecost, which is this Sunday, we celebrate A, the reception of the Great Commission, B, the descent of the Holy Spirit, or C, the end of the octave of Easter. Ryan, that's on the Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate A, the reception of the Great Commission, B, the descent of the Holy Spirit, or C, the end of the octave of Easter.
I'm going to go with
B. I did not hear the answer because of the music. Did you guys hear the answer? He said B? Well, even if he didn't say B, we're going with B. All right. And I forgot to say, if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper at home, you can play as a family, call grandma and grandpa and the kids around the table and enjoy yourselves as we go. That's why I read the questions twice to make sure that if you're playing along at home as a family, you get the question. Ryan has one correct. We go to your first question, Alexa, contestant number two. When the Holy Spirit, by the way, there's going to be a lot of Holy Spirit questions because Pentecost is Sunday. All right. So there's going to be, if you're not good with the Holy Spirit, not your day. Sorry. When the Holy Spirit first filled the apostles, some people thought the apostles were A, the prophet Elijah, B, angels, C, drunk. When the Holy Spirit first filled the apostles... Wait, what? Did you give me the answer while I was still reading the question there, Alexa? Did you do that?
I started the answer and I stopped.
Oh, you did? Okay, very good, because that's very advanced stuff there if you do that.
I didn't finish my answer. I knew you wanted to repeat it a second time. I forgot.
No, I got to read it a second time for Grandma and Grandpa who are playing along at home. When the Holy Spirit is filled, filled the apostles, some people thought the apostles were A, the prophet Elijah, B, angels, or C, drunk.
Okay, that would be C, drunk. They thought they had too much wine.
That's right. She got it right. Good job, Alexa. Acts chapter 2, verse 15, St. Peter says, "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day," which would be about like close to 9 a.m.
But that does give us an interesting insight into the power of the Holy Spirit. That
some serious stuff was going on if they thinking they drunk.
Yeah.
These people are crazy, man. So
yeah.
The Holy Spirit, well, we know from Scripture that they were speaking in a variety of tongues or languages,
yeah,
which seems to be the nature of the gift of tongues in that particular text, that they're able to speak in the languages of the 13 different nations that are present there for the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, and everybody's hearing them in their own tongue, right?
Right.
And without having any sort of prior education in those languages, but the Holy Spirit simply giving them that ability to proclaim the gospel in their language, in those languages.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Did that wear off, or like, could Peter still speak all those languages when he went out as a missionary?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've never considered it, actually, to be honest.
It just occurred to me, actually,
like,
as you were talking.
Did the gift stay
with them? So, like, if you're the Apostle Thomas, you know, and you go all the way across the Parthian Empire, all the way over to
That's
India.
A question I do not know. I've never asked it or nor considered it, so...
They got to keep them.
Yeah.
I hope they got to keep them.
Now, is the gift... Does the gift continue throughout the ages of the church? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
so the charism still gets, but for those particular individuals, did the gift remain for them? I do not know.
All right, contestant number one and contestant number two, Ryan and Alexa, we got to take our first break. It'll be a very quick break. We'll be right back for more questions on the Catholic Answers Game Show.
Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All tied up on the Catholic Answers game show today. Ryan and Alexa are our guests. Alexa, a religion teacher. Come on now. That's like having a ringer in here. And Ryan, 18 years old from Vermont, getting ready to go to college. We'll just have to count on the innate intelligence of the people of Vermont, which is legendary after all. Our guests here in studio, Carlo Broussard and Ryan, it is time for your second question. You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? In the book of the prophet Isaiah, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are given. And as I said, because Pentecost is coming up this Sunday, where a lot of questions have to do with the Holy Spirit. So which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? A, piety. B, celibacy. C, fear of God. Once again, which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? A, piety. B, celibacy. C, fear of God.
B.
You can hear what he's saying. I can't hear it over the music. So he got it right, though. All right. Were you guessing at that, or did you just know that, Ryan?
I did know that.
All right.
Fantastic. I'm not going to make any comments, because the next question coming up.
Oh, that's a good point.
Is
okay.
Of the same nature.
Yeah,
so I'll save the catechetical point
till after
that
Alexa goes. Okay, Alexa, here's your second question, Alexa. Which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, A. Praise, B. Or C, understanding. Alexa, which of the following is not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? A, wisdom. B, praise, or C, understanding?
Praise.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Good job,
nice.
Alexa.
The tie continues. We've got two contestants who are killing it.
Yes. Paragraph 1831 of the Catechism. The Catechism lists the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And neither praise nor celibacy is listed there. So,
no, but don't try celibacy if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you with gifts. Actually, praise either. You're going to need the Holy Spirit.
You're going to need the Holy Spirit.
He's the one who comes into our hearts and makes us cry out, yeah. Abba, Father.
Yeah, whenever we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's a bit difficult sometimes for folks, because whenever in theology we speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're referring specifically to the seven. But you can generally speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a general way and say, hey, if I am able to cry out to the Lord, right, in prayer, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes for folks, it's a bit, difficult to make those distinctions.
So you're saying my questions were unfair?
No, they were perfectly fair.
Okay.
Hey, man, look, both Ryan.
Well, you said earlier you're a man of truth, so I'm going to take you through.
Ryan and Alexa both got it right. So.
All right, Ryan, your last question of round one. You have not used either of your afterlife lines. One of your afterlife lines is to have Carlo give you a 50-50 by taking away one wrong answer. The other one is just to have Carlo give you the right answer. Catch being, he's got to give it to you in Pig Latin. So both of you have both of your afterlife lines left. Here's your third question. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the counselor or paraclete. What does paraclete mean? A, divine, B, advocate, or C, creator? Jesus, Ryan, refers to the Holy Spirit as the counselor or paraclete. What does paraclete mean? A, divine, B, advocate, or C, creator?
I'm going to ask you use my pig Latin lifeline, please.
Ryan, I have a feeling you did that on purpose, brother. All right, so you ready, Si?
I'm ready.
Pig Latin for the right answer.
For the correct answer. This okay. is the correct answer.
Divocatae.
Nice. That did sound Latin.
Do I need to repeat it? Divocatae.
What do you think, Ryan? Can you make that out?
Advocate.
Woohoo!
You are correct, advocate. Yeah. All right, Alexa, your third question, your final question of round one. You're going to need to get this one to keep it tied. Alexa, Jesus says the one who does what to the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven? A, blasphemes. B, curses. C, quenches. Alexa, Jesus says the one who does what to the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven? A, blasphemes. B, curses. C, quenches.
I am going to use my 50-50 lifeline.
All right, 50-50 lifeline.
So I eliminate one.
Eliminate one wrong answer. She'll just have two answers left.
Okay, I eliminate B, curses.
Okay, so either you will not be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, or you will not be forgiven if you quench the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to go with quench.
Oh,
that's a trick one, because there is a commandment, don't quench the Holy Spirit there's a do not quench the Holy Spirit, but I'm gonna look it up for you. I don't know where it is, but the command, what Jesus says is blasphemes.
Yeah, Mark 3:29, Jesus says, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Luke 12:10 has the same thing. However, in Matthew 12:32, Matthew records it as he who speaks against the Holy Spirit. But blaspheme is the correct answer there, according to Mark 3:29 and Luke 12:10.
1 Thessalonians 5:19. This translation that I looked it up in says, "Do not extinguish the Spirit,"
But notice that's Paul that says that. The question was,
oh,
Jesus.
I said Jesus.
Says.
Oh, I see. Yep. I forgot my own question. All right, Ryan.
We can't give it to Alexa.
We can't give it to Alexa. If I could cheat on your behalf, Alexa, I would. I am a renowned and well-known cheater. But it is now 3-2, Ryan over Alexa. Everybody ready for round two?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
All right, Alexa had to think about it. All right. You're coming on strong now, Alexa. I can feel it. All right. You're up with the first question, Ryan, as contestant number one. Ryan, your first question of round two is, Catholics believe that Mary, A, will judge the living and the dead, B, will advocate on behalf of those who ask her help, or C, will return on the clouds of heaven just as she ascended. Ryan, Catholics believe that Mary, A, will judge the living and the dead, B, will advocate on behalf of those who ask her help, or C, will return on the clouds of heaven just as she ascended.
B, advocate on behalf of those who ask for help.
Amen to that. She's our queen mama. So we can go for her intercession on our behalf to King Jesus.
And even if she does get to, you know, ride around on clouds, she did not ascend into heaven.
It's interesting, you know, coming on the clouds of heaven, that's actually a prerogative of Almighty God.
And, oh, really?
In the prophet of Jeremiah prophesies, God's speaking through the prophet Jeremiah of coming on the clouds of heaven in judgment. And that's what Jesus says at his trial. You shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, to which the high priest responds, blasphemy. Why?
Oh, why is that?
That's something only God does. And Jesus was saying, I'm coming with the very authority of God. Equal to that authority. And so consequently, they crucify him for blasphemy.
All right.
But that's not what Mary does.
No, that's not what Mary does. The point is Mary doesn't do any of that stuff. Right. But she will help you out if you got a problem.
Amen.
All right. Question number one for you, contestant number two. Alexa, your first question of round two. Catholics believe that Mormon baptism is A, valid because they baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. B, not valid because their understanding of God is incompatible with Christianity, or C, valid but not licit. Alexa, Catholics believe that Mormon baptism is A, valid because they baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. B, not valid because their understanding of God is not compatible with the Christianity, or C, valid but licit.
I'm going with B, not valid.
Amen. Good job, Alexa. It's not valid because their understanding of God is incompatible with Christianity. Yeah, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, a dubium was presented to them. And, man, the year is slipping my mind. I can't remember exactly when, but there was a dubium that was presented to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and the CDF responded negative. As to the question was Mormon baptism's valid. And then in response, Father Louis Ladaria, Jesuit, issued a letter, the question on the validity of baptism conferred in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And you can get this on the Vatican website. And he lists several reasons why the CDF said it was invalid. And the bottom line is that it's not a true invocation of the Trinity. Because although they use the form Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, their understanding of the Trinity is not what we understand as Christians. For their understanding, as Ladaria points out, three gods who form one divinity that are different from each other, substantially speaking.
Yeah, right.
And not the Christian understanding of the Trinity as three distinct persons, but all being identical to the one divine nature, which is one substance, one essence, one in being.
I have to say, Alexa, I was kind of hoping you didn't know the answer to that one. And can you guess why I didn't want you to know the answer?
I don't know.
Because the answer is so long, and I wanted you to tell Carlo to say it in Pig Latin.
Thank you, Alexa, for being smart and knowing that answer.
That was my hope that he would have to say, Ot ne alid ve e cus be, ere they...
Wow, you sound good.
Well, I am a 12-year-old girl. Yes, I know. That actually was my best Pig Latin maybe that I've ever done right there.
That was pretty good, dude. You would have convinced me. Hey, Cy knows Latin.
It's the game show. Ryan, our contestant number one against Alexa, our contestant number two. And they are just divided by one question right now as we head into the last two questions of the second round. Contestant one, Ryan, your next question. Catholics believe that Protestant Christianity is, in general, A, fully separated from the one true church, B, in limited communion with the one true church, C, fully in communion, but in a mysterious way with the one true church. Ryan, let me give you that again. Catholics believe that Protestant Christianity is, in general, A, fully separated from the one true church, B, in limited community with the one true church, or C, fully in communion, but in a mysterious way with the one true church.
I would like to use my elimination lifeline, please.
All right. I will eliminate C, fully in communion, but in a mysterious way, one with the one true church.
So that leaves you with two choices. Protestants are, in general, either fully separated from the one true church or in limited communion with the one true church.
I'm going to say B, in limited communion.
There's the correct answer noise. Music to my ears.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So they are united to us in as much as one who is validly baptized.
Yeah.
Has sanctifying grace subsisting in the soul. That, in an invisible, mysterious way, unites the individual to the one true church of Jesus Christ on the invisible level, even though visibly they're not united to the Bishop of Rome in submission to him, for whatever reason that might be, on condition that that person has not made a positive act of the will to reject the ministry and the role of the Bishop of Rome, right?
Yeah.
And that they're, for some reason, invincibly ignorant of his role and being the shepherd of the universal church. And it's possible for that person who's validly baptized to have sanctifying grace dwelling in the soul, and so therefore united, but in an imperfect way, because the visible unity is lacking. And so that's what we mean by a limited communion. Here's what the Catechism says. I'll share this with you. Paragraph 855.
Okay.
Divisions among Christians prevent the church from realizing in practice the fullness of Catholicity proper to her in those of her sons, who, though joined to her by baptism, yet are separated from full communion. Notice the adjective full, implying that there's some communion, but it's not perfect yet. So there is a lack of fully realizing Catholicity proper to the church.
All right. We're, Ryan and Alexa are our contestants today. We are playing the Catholic Answers game show, which we have not done since for months and months. It's been months and months since we've done the game show, and we're glad to be back doing it. Right now, it stands that Alexa has two more questions left in round two, and Ryan has one more question in round two, and then we will see who is moving on to final judgment. Somebody is going to their final judgment today. But we're going to have to wait to find out, because we got to take a quick break right now. Don't forget, there's a free ebook available for you. Just go to shop.catholic.com, click the free ebook banner, and you get 20 Answers, The Early Church, a great little ebook for free over at shop.catholic.com.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Does the Church have too many rules? Join me, Dr. David Anders, as we answer your questions right here on Called to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
It's hard not to dance when the Catholic Answers game show music is playing. I feel like a game show host. I feel when that music is playing, I feel like a game show host.
You get your groove going, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Snapping your fingers, got the shoulders and the hands in the air.
Got the overbite. it's the game show, and we are in the middle of round two. Round two, after round two, we have to send one contestant home, so we will find out who that is shortly. The next question goes to contestant number two, Alexa. And I got to find it here. Alexa, your question. Catholics believe that atheism is A, impossible to challenge merely using reason without revelation. B, spiritually the same as Satanism. Or C, contrary to both faith and reason. Contestant number two, Alexa. Catholics believe that atheism is A, impossible to challenge merely using reason without revelation. B, spiritually the same as Satanism, or C, contrary to both faith and reason.
I will say C, contrary to both faith and reason.
Good job, Alexa. Fantastic. Yeah, obviously it's contrary to faith because faith involves...
faith in God.
Faith in God, believing in God, right, and everything that he has revealed to us. And it's contrary to reason because we can know by reason without revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And notice I didn't say by the natural light of human reason there.
No, but then you followed up by saying, notice I didn't say the thing, and then you said it.
Reason without revelation enables us to arrive at knowledge of God and that he exists. So the denial that God exists would be contrary to reason. And in fact, the Catechism points out how to deny the existence of God on an objective level entails sin, right? So paragraph 2127, atheism is a sin against the virtue of religion, because the virtue of religion is the virtue by which we order ourselves to God by the activities that we can know by reason without revelation and the activities that he reveals to us to order ourselves to him, right?
Right.
Sacrifice of the Mass.
So objectively, it's a sin.
Objectively. Whether or not an individual is going to be guilty of that grave, serious offense of rejecting God, right? Concerning whether he has full knowledge, full deliberate consent, only God has access to those inner movements of the human heart.
All right. Now, good job, Alexa. Alexa, I got to tell you right now, you only have one question left and you haven't used your Pig Latin yet. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. I can't order you. I have no authority over you. But it would be very entertaining to the rest of the planet Earth if, even if you know the correct answer, you make Carlo do the Pig Latin. So I'm leaving that, you know, in your hands.
But the Pig Latin might be so bad that I mess her up. She thinks it's another answer.
That's true. What did you say, Alexa? I missed what you said.
I agree that it would be entertaining.
Okay, good. Okay, good. At least I've got you on my side as you make your decision. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Your last question of round two, Ryan, contestant number one. Exorcism is A, a sacrament of the Catholic Church, B, a rite of the Catholic Church, or C, a media exaggeration that is not really a part of Catholic practice. I'll give that to you again, Ryan. Exorcism is A, a sacrament of the Catholic Church, B, a rite of the Catholic Church, C, a media exaggeration that is not really a part of Catholic practice.
B, a rite of the Catholic Church.
Good job, Ryan. Yeah, rite's just sort of interchangeable there with ritual. It's not right. It's important for our listeners to understand that we're not using the term right here in reference to the distinct rites in the Catholic Church, like the various liturgical traditions.
Right.
But it's being used here in reference to a ritual of the Catholic Church. Now, as to what an exorcism is, the Catechism, interestingly enough, gives a definition of it in paragraph 1637.
Oh.
It says, when the Church asks publicly and authoritatively in the name of Jesus Christ that a person or object be protected against the power of the evil one and withdrawn from his dominion, it's called an exorcism.
All right. Final question for you, Alexa. In round two, Jesus is God. Therefore, A, Mary is the mother of the human nature of God. B, Mary is the mother of God. C, Mary is the mother of the man Jesus, but not the mother of the divine Jesus. Once again, that question is, Jesus is God. Therefore, A, Mary is the mother of the human nature of God. B, Mary is the mother of God. Or C, Mary is the mother of the man Jesus, but not the mother of the divine Jesus.
And I will ask the answer from Carlo in Pig Latin.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Alexa. Carlo, could you give us the correct answer in Pig Latin?
All right, here we go. Arium me, sie, hete, other me, foe, ad gay.
Did you get that, Alexa, or do you need him to do it again?
I got it.
Oh, come on, Alexa.
Give it to us,
okay,
Alexa.
Go ahead. Give it to us.
The mother of God.
Woohoo! That's right, Alexa. Good job.
You got it. Did you keep score there, Marie? Can you tell me who's the winner after two rounds? Okay. Ryan is the winner after two rounds. And Alexa, that means we're going to have to give you a parting gift and say thank you for playing. You've been a great contestant. I really appreciate that you made Carlo do the Pig Latin. And we were going to give you Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. But because you were so kind, and I know you knew the answer, and you made him do the Pig Latin, I'm going to give you Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, and add to it Carlo's book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. So you're getting both of Carlo's books. All right, Alexa?
Awesome. Thank you, and good job, Ryan.
Well, thank you very much. It was fun playing with you.
Oh, how sweet. What good sport.
That was Alexa. Thank you very much. What a great spirit. All right.
For the listeners out there, Cy was wiping his eyes with his laminated paper.
I had to wipe my tears away.
That's right.
But you got to use laminated paper during this time of the virus. All right, Ryan, it's time for your final judgment. Are you prepared for final judgment?
I haven't gone to confession yet, but okay.
Dude, that is not a Catholic answer. You don't want to when final judgment comes, you don't want to say, I haven't gone to confession yet, but okay. You need to say, excuse me, I need to go to confession, and then I'll be ready.
Maybe he's assuming he doesn't have a priest. So he's relying on the teaching that if he has perfect contrition, then even mortal guilt could possibly be forgiven.
All right.
But having perfect contrition is hard to come by.
Well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. All right, Ryan.
I beg your mercy.
That's probably a really good thing to say at your final judgment. As a matter of fact, somebody said to Pope Benedict when he was Pope, "What do you want to say when you meet Jesus face to face?" And he said, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, "Have mercy on my wretchedness." That's what the Pope said. And that is a good thing to say to Jesus when you meet him.
I ain't going to be able to talk. I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be choked up.
I'm going to be like this. This is what I'm going to say, Carlo. I'm
going to
say, don't leave Carlo back there. Let him come in with me. No, that's not what I'm going to say. All right. Time for your final judgment. True or false? You get 7 true or false questions. All right. Each question comes with a prize. So if you get the question right, you win the prize. If you get the question wrong, you don't win the prize. But there's also a little bit of magic involved here. If you get all 7 correct, you get a big $50 shopping spree at Catholic.com, our website. $50 to buy whatever you like at Catholic.com. So you ready to play?
Is that on top of the gifts that he gets?
Yeah, he gets all the gifts and he gets that if he gets all 7 correct.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. The first question that you're playing for Carlo's book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. All right. True or false, Ryan? The early church was not hierarchical. Ryan, true or false? The early church was not hierarchical.
That is false.
Amen. Sorry, that was an easy one, brother.
Was
you
it
gave
really?
Him a softball.
It was kind of a double negative, though. You have to say false. It's not hierarchical. But you think that was an easy one?
Here's a quote from St. Ignatius of Antioch, right? In the early 2nd century, his epistle to the Magnesians, he says this, "Be subject to the bishop as to the grace of God, and to the presbytery as to the law of Jesus Christ." If that's not hierarchy, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
That's in like AD 107 to 110, right after John the Apostle died. And you have Ignatius articulating the hierarchical structure of the church with the bishop and the presbyter.
Oh, by the way, we just did a Focus episode on this, too. We asked Tim Staples, was the early church hierarchical?
Oh, sweet.
I think that's probably why that was in my mind when I wrote the quiz.
So.
Yeah, so you can go to CatholicAnswersFocus.com and find all of our Focus episodes. We have some great episodes with Carlo right now, which also involve the early church. We did a couple on Peter. Mm-hmm. You remember?
Particularly the early church within the New Testament age in Scripture.
Yeah, right. All right, so you won that one, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. That is yours. The next one, you're playing for a great new book. This is one of our newer models, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of the Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus by Father Sebastian Walsh, a very good friend of this apostolate and a very fine priest. True or false, Ryan? You're playing for Secrets from Heaven, true or false? You have to pray the rosary to be a good Catholic.
That is false.
Oh, Ryan Sharp, man.
I think I made my questions too easy.
And the emphasis is have to, right? The rosary is a private devotion, and so it's not necessary for someone to practice and engage in as a form of piety in order to go to heaven and to be a good Catholic. But is it a good thing to do to enhance your spiritual life and your relationship with our Lord and with the Blessed Mother? Yes, it is. But if you choose not to, if it doesn't float your boat and you prefer some other spiritual form or devotion, spirituality or devotion, then that's okay.
Yeah. All right. Ryan, you're on question number three. And for question number three, you've won two books so far. You're playing for, I tell you what, if you're going to get any questions wrong, this would be the one to get wrong because you're playing for a Trent Horn book.
I like his podcast.
Oh, it's a great podcast. I'm just teasing. Can a Catholic be a socialist? You win. Can a Catholic be a socialist if you get this one right? Ryan, true or false? Sola Scriptura is an invention of 16th century thinkers and not an ancient teaching of the church. Ryan, true or false? Sola Scriptura is an invention of 16th century thinkers and not an ancient teaching of the church.
That is true.
Indeed, it is an invention of the 16th
march
century.
March into Moscow, wow.
And that's actually, okay, so think about this, Si. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if Ryan was keen on seeing the questions here, his answer to number one gives him the answer to number three.
Oh,
because
you're right, yeah.
If the early church was hierarchical and there was hierarchical authority, well, then the early church was not sola scriptura.
I didn't see the connection, but there you go. You're doing well, Ryan. You got four more. If you get the next four right, you win each of the books, but then you also win the grand prize, $50, to buy whatever you want over at Catholic.com. So here's your question, Ryan. Here is your question. True or false? A person can commit an objective moral evil and not be subjectively guilty of sin. Ryan, true or false? A person can commit an objective moral evil and not be subjectively guilty of sin. Don't give me your answer yet, Ryan. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with Ryan's answer right after this. That's my game show voice. A brand new episode of Catholic Answers Focus is now available. That's our podcast. Check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This week we talk with Carlo Broussard about why Catholics can believe that the church is a visible hierarchical institution when Jesus says that the church is wherever two or three are gathered in his name. Check out this week's conversation with Carlo and get access to past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too. And my girlfriend is also going with me. Wow. She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Oh, yeah. That's the Catholic Answers Game Show music. I am your Catholic Answers Game Show host, Cy Kellett. Catholic Answers Game Show guest, Carlo Broussard, in studio with me, 6 feet away, I assure you. And on the phone is Ryan from Vermont, 18 years old, right now, setting the world on fire with his undefeated march towards perfection as he has answered every question we've given him correctly. And I admit, a lot of them were too easy. So I don't. Sorry, Ryan. I maybe took you down a little notch.
Hey,
there,
man, don't insult his intelligence. He might be thinking, "Whew, those were hard."
You said they were too easy. As I gave them, you said that's too easy. All right. Here's your true or false question. I'll just remind you of it. A person can commit an objective moral evil and not be subjectively guilty of a sin. True or false?
I'm overthinking this, but I think it is true.
That is correct. Good job, Ryan.
Oh, I forgot to tell you what book you're playing for. You got it right, and you are correct. The book you just won is called "The Bible Is a Catholic Book." Jimmy Akin's great book. The Bible is a Catholic book. How is it possible I can do objective moral evil and there's no guilt on my soul about it?
Right. There's a distinction to be made between the content or the matter of the action itself and whether it's disordered within itself, contrary to reason and thus contrary to God's law embedded within nature, and the culpability for that action, which has to do with whether or not we have these subjective conditions in order to incur the guilt. full knowledge and deliberate consent in order to incur the full guilt, the mortal guilt of the grave serious act, right? Mm-hmm. And the Catechism lays this out in paragraph 1862. Here's what it says. One commits venial sin. So that's only the guilt of venial sin, venial guilt. And so if you commit it, you're not damned to hell unless, you know, without repentance. One commits venial sin when in a less serious matter, he does not observe the standard prescribed by the moral law. Okay, yeah. So it's a non-grave matter. Or when he disobeys the moral law in a grave matter, so that's the objective level, the grave serious offense, but without full knowledge or without complete consent. So if one of those two subjective conditions are not met, then the individual wouldn't incur the mortal guilt of committing the grave serious offense, only a venial guilt.
So what if I'm like, say that, I'm not sure that, I think that there are actual times when people are actually insane. Let's say someone's insane and they killed somebody. Yep. Well, but they're insane, but not fake insane. I'm talking about real insane.
Right.
So the killing is still an evil.
Objectively speaking, correct.
But they don't have a moral culpability for it, or the moral culpability is very low.
Correct. Right. A real-time example would be Catholics who go into confession, right, with a priest who's been malformed or making misjudgments or for whatever reason tells the individual, oh, it's okay to use contraception, you know, there's nothing wrong with
right.
that.
Yeah.
An individual doesn't have the intellectual chops to like reason through that morality and the morality of that action.
Yeah.
And so just based upon the authority of the priests, the couple uses contraception and they're thinking that they're doing a good thing. So on an objective level, they're committing a grave serious offense against the natural law,
but
right?
Subjectively,
you know, ultimately against God. But subjectively, they might not be responsible for their ignorance, right? Now, granted, maybe they're lazy and they're just not reading and studying what the church teaches, but let's just say, for argument's sake, that's not the case. And they're trying their best. They sought counsel from the priest. The priest gave them bad information. And so because that condition wouldn't be met, although they're committing a grave serious offense on an objective level, they wouldn't be mortally culpable for it. But if they would come to knowledge that it is gravely wrong,
they got
to stop and continue to do it.
Yeah.
Well, then they would incur, and that is full knowledge and even deliberate consent, and both of those subjective conditions are met.
Yeah.
Then they would incur the mortal guilt.
Yeah. Right. All right. This is question number 5, and you're playing for Trent Horn's book Why We're Catholic. Ryan, true or false? Holy water is a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Ryan, true or false? Holy water is a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace.
Well, that's the definition of a sacrament, so I'm going to say false.
Very good, Ryan.
This guy is good.
Good job, brother.
I thought I might get him on that one.
Yep, nope. He got it right. Holy water is a sacramental. The Catechism lists it as a sacramental in paragraph 1668, but defines in paragraph 1670, sacramentals do not confer the grace of the Holy Spirit in the way that the sacraments do. So Ryan rightfully identified a sacrament as a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. That's not a sacramental. Holy water is a sacramental. Therefore, holy water is not a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace.
But a sacramental disposes us to receive grace.
Oh, indeed.
But it doesn't give us grace.
It doesn't give us grace.
Like if you go to confession, make a good confession, and receive a lawful absolution, you are absolved.
Receive the sacramental graces to help you live out the Christian life from the sacrament itself, right?
Right. Right.
But in the sacramental, as you said, it properly disposes us to receive actual graces and sacramental graces given to us in the sacrament.
Yeah. All right. You got two more. And you're playing for two of our newest books.
Playing for there?
Why We're Catholic.
Okay.
That was Why We're Catholic. This one, John DeRosa has a new book out called One God Less Than You. One God Less Than You. You're playing for that. True or false, Ryan?
And if I may say just real quick, John DeRosa is a great friend of mine. He does great work. And so you got to get this one right, Ryan, because his book is going to be a phenomenal book. I can't wait to read it. So a shout out to my good friend, John DeRosa.
All right. True or false, Ryan? True or false? God is always three persons, each of whom is identical to the one divine nature. Ryan, true or false? God is always three persons, each of whom is identical to the one divine nature.
Good job, Ryan. You know your Trinitarian theology, brother.
Well, if he knew the difference between a sacramental and a sacrament, I figured he'd know the definition of the Trinity. So.
All three persons are identical to the one divine nature. And this gets back to the question that I answered in the previous hour when that lady called in about the Trinity. And you can also check out paragraph 253 for our listeners out there. Side paragraph 253, the Catechism says the divine persons do not share the one divinity among themselves, but each of them is God whole and entire. Father is that which the Son is, namely, the one God.
It is so, you could just meditate on that for the rest of your life.
Indeed,
it?
You could.
Yes.
And we'll be hopefully meditating upon it for the rest of our eternal existence in the beatific vision of heaven.
And apprehending it, though. Apprehending it directly.
That's right. According to our finite capabilities.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, Ryan knows all
you'll be,
that.
You'll be right on the, right below me. According to your finite capabilities.
Hey, maybe right. So, bro, because you're a lot holier than I am. We have different degrees.
Is that what it is? It's holiness.
We have different degrees of charity when we die, different capacity for charity, so yeah. Different experiences of the beatific vision. So you may very well be higher than I am, although I wouldn't be jealous of you.
No, you wouldn't, because
would
you'll
rejoice.
Be holy as well. That's right.
I would be rejoicing right. in
but
the
you
good
But you know I'll be in the back
have.
With the smart Alex and the press. That's where I'll be. okay, this is your last one, and you're playing for a great book by a great man, Joe Heschmeyer, who we love around here. The book's
Amen.
The thing is, the book is not out yet, but the book is called Pope Peter. It's going to rock the world when it does come out, and we're going to send it to you when it does. Are you ready, Ryan, for your final question? By the way, if you get this one correct, you also get the $50 shopping spree at Catholic.com. Ready?
I am ready.
All right. True or false, Ryan? The Catholic Church maintained the same structure and religious practices after Emperor Constantine's Edict of Toleration as before. True or false, Ryan? The Catholic Church maintained the same structure and religious practices after Constantine's Edict of Toleration as before.
Amen to that.
Why'd you say true? I just want to know what your thinking was on that.
Well, I said true because the Edict of Milan just legalized Christianity and tried to change its form. And I know that some people say that, like, the Catholic elements corrupted the true church at that point, but Constantine was not a religious authority. He was just a civil authority.
I would have made the question so much harder if I had known you were going to be on, right?
Well, once again, question one gives it away because the bishop and the presbyterate was right there in the early second century from Ignatius.
Yeah.
That's the before. But of course, the lacking element was after, and Ryan knew that it remained.
Is the sound effects department ready? Ryan, you are with a perfect score for our game show, a winner of every prize, including the big $50 shopping spree at Catholic.com.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Thank you.
You are welcome, Ryan. As a matter of fact, between you and Alexa, only one question
was missed.
Was missed. And that's, like, even if you know the answers, only missing one is amazing. Ryan, we might have to call you back when we do our game show of champions. I think we're going to do it sometime around Christmas. I don't know. Where we'll invite our game show champions back.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah,
we'll do the game show.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to involve knives. So I hope you got time to practice, though. So thanks, Ryan.
Knives?
Yeah, I said knives.
Like, why did he say knives? That's the question I'm asking.
I told
you
I'm in the wise guy section in the back with the press. Marie, you did a really good job keeping score and making sure the prizes. Ryan, the prizes come to you from Marie. She's going to mail them to you. So you look out for them. You'll definitely get them because Marie's very responsible. Brandon, you just did such a good job on video. Thank you so much. You're the greatest video guy except for Andrew and Zach. You're the greatest of all the video guys. Oh, and Francesca. And
this is my favorite place.
Yeah. And Nick, guess what? The sounds just went great. You did a great job. We haven't done this since January, and everybody did a great job. Can we have a big round of applause for all of you and for Carlo? Thank you very much, Carlo.
You're welcome, Si. Thanks for having me, brother. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, Carlo will be back out on the road as soon as people can be back out on the road. So if you want to find out how to have Carlo come as a speaker, and you do, I'm telling you, you want to have Carlo come as a speaker. He's fun. He's exciting. He's very precise in his and helpful in his theology and his teaching. Just go over to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. Maybe you've been putting off your conference. But you'll probably be back out on the road, maybe October, November, December, whenever the government says.
Whenever the parish is open, I'm going to be there.
You can also find Carlo's books at shop.catholic.com, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs.
Thank you all. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Amen. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.